And for the second split, again, Mr. Monty Knutson.
I was listening. I got in the car, run an errand just before sunset last night, and this water glass is sliding down. Maybe put it down here. And on the news, there was this doctor. I don't know if he's a psychologist, but some type of doctor. And I've heard him on the news before, and he talks really, really fast. And he was talking about, you know, recently in the news, we've heard that there's been a couple of suicides, you know, from famous people. And he was making some quotes, and I quickly wrote some down. And he says, you know, because he was concerned about this situation, because when there's these suicides that are from people who are well known, the suicide rate is higher. There's more suicides after that. And he said, he made a few quotes that caught my attention. I quickly wrote it down. He says, there needs to be a reason to live. To stop these suicides, there needs to be a reason to live. And he says, we need to find a greater purpose. And he said, materialism is not the answer. And so he started talking about that, that, hey, materialism is not the answer, because he went into all the issues and problems with that can come with that. And he also made the statement that depression, these individuals, is, they have this depression. And the depression comes from a focus on themselves, of their issues, their problems, or whatever it is. And they just get in so deep they can't get out. So he's making these statements. And he also says that happiness is for a higher purpose. And he says, he's telling us, as we're listening, I'm listening to this, he's telling us, his radio listeners, he says, your life does matter. He says, we just need to find the answer of what that greater purpose is. I don't know what it is, but we need to find out what that greater purpose is so we don't have to be committing suicide. We don't have these issues in the world. We need to find out what that greater purpose is. And here's a doctor, probably a PhD, has all this information, all this knowledge, and they do not know what that greater purpose is. Those in the world have not been given the understanding of salvation. They don't know the plan. They don't know the real God. How many of us want to be in God's kingdom and receive eternal life? And I believe we all want that. All right? The world does not understand that particular statement that God wants to give eternal life. They don't understand the real sacrifice of the Son of God that the Father did. They don't understand it. So the question for us, we have this understanding. What are we going to do with it? Why are we here today? What do I desire from the ministry? What do I desire from the teachers that are up here teaching the Word of God? What do I desire from the body of Christ? We get individuals that come to church for the wrong reasons. In Africa, we have to be so concerned about that because we do give out physical things. And people come to the church for the wrong reasons. It's not to learn the Word of God and to apply the Word of God. It's self-focused. We have to ask ourselves, is that me? What is my focus when I come into this room? What do I want from the ministry? Do I want to hear the words of salvation? And what do I want from the body? The body. Do I want to grow from the members in the body to practice the life of Jesus Christ, the examples of Jesus Christ, to give encouragement, to receive encouragement, to help lift up? We must be teachable when we come in here. So we get individuals that come into the church. And especially in Africa, we'll get individuals who want to get their transportation paid. I want to come see you. Can you pay my transportation? Or they'll come see you and then they want their transportation paid after the fact. And they start asking for physical things. That doesn't mean we cut them off, but we guide them. We teach them the Word of God. Like we heard in the first message, is what do we seek first? What do we seek first? Are we seeking God's kingdom of eternal life, that gift? And then do we want to overcome and apply that righteousness? So we work with them. We are worked with here. And the question is, we have to ask ourselves, am I teachable? And if I'm teachable and apply it in my life, am I humble and kind and loving that I can help others see this way? Can I teach it? And am I applying it? Because that's what we're going to be doing in the kingdom of God. It's not when we get in the kingdom and say, okay, oh, I want this position. No, I want that position. It's not going to happen. We've been given the gift of God's Holy Spirit because of God's love, because of the love that Jesus Christ has, because of that sacrifice. And Jesus Christ came in the flesh and set us many examples on how we are to live. He sacrificed his life for the profit of all mankind so they could receive the gift of eternal life. So they could hear the words and know the words of God the Father. The title of this message today is, Nevertheless, Not My Will, But Yours Be Done. And we'll turn to that scripture here in just a little bit. Those are the words of Jesus Christ the night he was betrayed to be crucified. And the question for us today, are we on the path that leads to salvation? And with this message today, as well as you hear many other messages, as you heard the first message, you know, we get all these points. And we have to ask ourselves, are we on the path to salvation? The sermon today will help us to see what we need to be doing in following God, because that's what God's desire is, for us to hear his words and to follow. I have 2 points today. And as we go through them, we'll be able, these are godly principles. And I'm also, as we go through these points, you're going to see some other godly principles that we need to be hearing, need to be applying in our lives. So for us to be able to be in God's kingdom. My first point is we need to put God first. I mean, this is nothing new. We know these things. The question is, as we go through the message, we can ask ourselves, I can ask myself, am I putting God first? Well, we have the example of Jesus Christ. And let's turn over to Luke. Actually, John, I'm sorry. And we're told in the Bible that we are to be Christ-like. Jesus Christ came in the human flesh, and we are to be just like him. We're told that in Hebrews. We're told that in other areas of the Bible. Yes, Jesus Christ never sinned. We do sin, but we can use that sacrifice of Jesus Christ to have our sins forgiven. But in John chapter 5, we see the attitude of Jesus Christ, who is God, who sat at the right hand of God, who with the Father. The Father did not create anything without the Son. All things were created through Jesus Christ. And anything that was made, and it was made through him and for him, or it wasn't made. That's the physical universe. And it's the same spiritually. We can't grow spiritually without both of them. But Jesus Christ set the example of what we need to be doing. John chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And he's amongst people that wanted to kill him, right? These are Jews that were keeping the Sabbath. They were keeping the physical laws, the letter of the law, but they didn't have love. Therefore the Jews, John 5, verse 18, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making him equal with God. God is our Father. We want to be equal, the same mindset, but God is greater. Then Jesus answered and said to them in verse 19, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus Christ says, hey, I'm here to do the will of the Father. Drop down to verse 30. Continuing that thought process, he says, I of myself can do nothing. Think of that. I of myself can do nothing. Jesus Christ is God. I of myself can do nothing. God the Father and Jesus Christ created the physical universe together. Christ says, I couldn't have done that without my Father. If I seek my own will, I can do nothing. When we seek our will, God is not aligned with us. He says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So he did the will of the Father. He continues to do the will of the Father, and that's where his power comes from. And he will always do that. Back in Luke, we see there was a time where just before he was crucified, Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus Christ is telling his disciples to sit here and pray. I'm going to go over here. And Jesus Christ went over here to pray. And he asks the Father in verse 42, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me, this horrible suffering, this horrible death that he was going to go through, that he did not deserve. But he did it for all mankind, because that was the will of the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We can find ourselves in situations that are unbearable and very difficult to go through. And we can ask ourselves, what do I do? What do we do? Point number one is, to put God first. Continue reading, Jesus Christ says, then an angel, when he was doing God's will, he didn't want to go through this because of the human, from the human point, he was human. If there was another way, can we still do this? And he knew he couldn't, but he was struggling with that human flesh. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. So Jesus Christ said, okay, if this is not the way to go, then give me strength to do your will. And what does God do? That's a prayer that God will answer. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So he got the strength. But guess what? He's in agony still. God can give us strength. We can go through the same situations, but we don't give up. Jesus Christ set the example. He prayed more earnestly. And the sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer and he had come to the disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So in putting God first, we too must not be sleepy. We must be praying. We must be seeking the will of God, or we will fall into temptation. So if it's our will to do God's will, we should start our day thinking like this every day when we wake up. Today, my day, this day, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow will say the same thing. That this day, I need to focus on putting God first. How does God want me to conduct my life today in every situation I come into? That should be on our mind. That's what we should be praying about. But you know what? For that to happen, for that to take place in our life, because the world could say that, and the world could try to do that, but if they don't understand the sacrifice, the plan of salvation, that a sacrifice had to happen before that we could be able to do the will of God, that's what we need to understand. Let's turn over to 1 Peter and see that a sacrifice was necessary for us to be able to do God's will. And God's will is to be like Him, to have our sins forgiven, and to grow in this relationship with God. And if we don't put God first, if that's not our desire, that's not our will, that's not what we're praying about, that's not what we're asking for strength of, it's not going to happen. But we're told in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Here's Peter telling the church, be sober, be alert, know what's going on, and rest your hope fully upon the grace. We need God's grace. We need His favor. That is, how is it brought? That is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's brought to us through a Savior. Through a Savior. A Savior had to come. A Savior had to redeem us. And this is a promise. What lies ahead from here is knowing that we need to grow in love, knowing that we need to make the right choices, so that we do not doubt. Jesus Christ never doubted, but He did need strength, and so do we, as we go through difficult times. And as we heard in the first message, God doesn't always intervene immediately. And there's times He does. I've seen healings done almost after the anointing. And I've seen others have to wait a while. And others are still waiting. But God's grace, God's favor is there for us. We're given the opportunity to overcome in this lifetime. The world does not understand that. The world does not understand that God wants to give eternal life as a gift. But we need to overcome and put on righteousness. And through that, it's through a Savior. Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to help us to overcome, to do God's will. The greatest gift of all is God's favor. It's His favor. Or this doesn't make any sense. I mean, the life of Jesus Christ is more valuable than all human life put together. That's God's love. That's His favor to show you how much He loves us and in turn how much He wants us to love others. Continuing in verse 14, as obedient children. So we have this sacrifice, all right? And we need to be obedient. As obedient children, and it says, not conforming ourselves to the former ways, the former lusts, as in your ignorance. So if we are choosing our own direction, making our own choices in life, most of the time those are going to be wrong and get us in trouble. If whatever we think that comes to our mind naturally, and we go through with that, it's going to get us in trouble. Verse 15 says, but he who called you is holy. So saying, I am holy. So God is saying, I am holy. I want you to come out of this former ways, and I want you to be holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. So we're told how we're supposed to live. And we're doing that, we're putting God first in our lives, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, that's who we call on when we pray. The world will pray to Jesus Christ, and they'll leave the Father out. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work. So we're going to be judged. So he says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. So through this sacrifice, we're redeemed. We're bought back from the God of this world. We're bought back. And our sins are transferred to Jesus Christ. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver from your aimless conduct. In other words, our aimless conduct that, I mean, we're all going to die, right? So we must get our mindset aligned with Jesus Christ, God the Father. Like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers. So these traditions, these ideas of how you think you're going to be redeemed is wrong. The church at this time was being false teachers talking about, you know, the day of the Lord is done, or there's not going to be a return of Jesus Christ. But we need a Savior. It's very important in putting God first. Now, Jesus Christ died as our Savior. He died for all mankind. Any human being were to die for another human being or for all mankind, they could not be a Savior. They'd be a martyr, but they could not be a Savior. We need to look at Jesus Christ and take this personally as what the God the Father has done. I need a Savior. So it says, it's not by your traditions, but verse 19, by what the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, never sinned. He was the Son of God. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So this plan was, before creation was even created, that the Son of God was going to die for mankind. And he was manifest in these last days for you. You, all mankind. Who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Without a Savior, this does not happen. Without a Savior, we don't have salvation. Without a Savior, we don't have a resurrection. And we do have the answer to that greater purpose that the world cannot understand. Not yet. What about us? Are we able to have the love that God has? Are we willing to die for the enemy? For those who want to kill us, hurt us? Are we willing to die for someone else's sin? Well, Jesus Christ did, and through him, we can do that as well. John 3, 16. We all know this by heart. I'm going to start in verse 14, John 3, 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So the serpent in the wilderness, that plague was going around. It was lifted up, and whoever looked at that serpent was healed. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why was Jesus Christ lifted up? Wasn't it for the forgiveness of sin? He was lifted up because his death, Father, forgive them. He came to die so that our sins could be forgiven. Jesus Christ was lifted up because he did the Father's will. He put him first, and he died for the sins of the world, for forgiveness of sin. Why are we lifted up? And putting God first, God tells us to forgive. When we forgive, God looks at us, we're redeemed, we're healed. Think about that as we go through this message, because we'll keep touching on it. Eternal life is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven, right? And Jesus Christ shed his blood. And putting God first is using this sacrifice in our lives as we apply that same forgiveness to others. And as we go through difficulties, and when we forgive others, and we're praying to God, and he's answering that prayer because we're like Jesus Christ. We're doing the Father's will. We're seeking to apply those things in our life that have to do with everything about forgiving others. How we conduct ourselves. When we're impatient, we're not forgiving someone. When we're not loved, we're not forgiving someone. Look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, and we're seeking that, and our mindset is that, we're praying to God, it's like, well, we have to overcome our selfish desires. We got to put off that former lust. And we do that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then we can say, God, help me. All right, I'm going through a difficult time. I'm going through struggles. I don't quite understand this. Nevertheless, this is how we're supposed to live. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. And give me the strength to go on. And when that agony comes on and it keeps there, we keep praying some more. So we don't fall into temptation. And we get up and we apply God's word. That leads us into point number two. We know we need to put God first. We know we need to be thinking about him, about our day, this very day. What are my actions going to be like? Are they going to be Christ-like? What are Christ's actions like? How did he react to others? How did he live for others? What did his ultimate sacrifice become? And am I applying that forgiveness in my life? Point number two is, we must be strong. Can't give up. We must be strong. So the question becomes, strong in what? Now, we've touched on it in point number one, but let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm in 1 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And this is Paul charging Timothy as a young minister. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong. Strong in what? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in that favor. Be strong in that relationship that Jesus Christ has with the Father. Don't forget it. How we can be strong in that same favor and that same grace. And what does it say? Why are we coming to services? To learn, to grow. Verse 2, what do we do with it? And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It's a process. We live it. We can help each other with it. As the ministry are taught, as Timothy is here, go out and find those individuals who are like that, that are able to teach God's way of life. And work with them as the next ministry leaders. Verse 3, and you therefore must endure hardship. Hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's how we endure. We're called to this calling. We endure as a good soldier. In verse 4, we can see that what is a good soldier? It says, no one engages in warfare. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So we don't engage with the ways of the world. We're to come out of the world and we are to put on Christ. It's putting God first. And we're strong in the Lord through this favor, through the forgiveness of sin that we must apply in our lives. And also, if anyone competes, well, let's not go to verse 5. Let's go to, so drop down to verse 8. Because we know this is not going to be easy. Jesus Christ showed that it wasn't easy, that he needed the Father for strength. He needed to continue to obey God and to live to God. And we have to be good soldiers, and we'll have to face and endure hardships as well. And Paul goes on in verse 8, says, remember that Christ Jesus of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. So just as we heard in the first message, we stand up for God and we live to God's way. People are going to look at us as evildoers. What do we do? Do we give up? Are we going to focus on point number 1 and focus on point number 2? Even to the point of being chained. And we know Paul was left for dead many times. It says, but the word of God is not chained. That word is not chained. It is live, it is powerful, and it will prevail. Therefore, I endure. We must endure all things for the sake of the elect. Here's Paul as a minister. He cares for the sheep. He's doing it for those whom God has called. He's not doing it for himself. What an example that we should be doing for each other. It's not to enlist as a soldier when maybe that pot starts to heat up and issues start happening. Itchy ears. No, we stay strong. We're a soldier. We're like God. We're like Christ. And through that sacrifice, we can remain strong and we'll suffer right through it all. No matter what people do to us, just like Paul. He didn't give up. We don't give up. He says, therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. We endure for the body of Christ. We don't defect and leave the body. That they also may obtain the salvation which is Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We're here to encourage, to love, to care for the flock through a Savior. To do God's will. This is a faithful saying, verse 11. For if we died with him, and we did at baptism, right? We died. Our sins were washed away. We're made alive. Then we also then we also shall live with him through the process of repentance and being cleansed daily. So it says, verse 12, but we must endure. We must persevere. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. We leave the body. We don't follow the instruction of the godly ministry, teaching the truth. We're not going to apply. I mean, Mr. Tuck, the ministry is not... I see Mr. Tuck. He's been talking about retirement for a while. He loves the brethren. He never says no. They ask him to do some more. Okay. He suffered a heart attack. He's not doing this for himself. He sees that he's trying to get the bride ready. Are we wanting to hear? Are we wanting to apply? If not, I mean, those, he's speaking the words. These are the words from the Bible. It's not just him. There's others as well. But he's our pastor. We don't want to deny the words that we're being taught. We don't want to deny the Savior that helps us to have this relationship with the Father, which we could be strengthened to do the God's will. If we are faithless, and there are some who are going to be faithless, verse 13, God remains faithful and he cannot deny himself. God will always be faithful. I mean, we're still in the world, right? It's like, well, what do I do? What do I do? I have issues, I have problems, I have to make plans. Yes, we make plans. But we're allowing God in our life with our plans? I have to ask myself that. People, maybe we've struggled. Maybe we still struggle. How do I know if I'm doing the right thing? What if God wants me to do this or wants me to do that? Well, guess what? If that's not what God wants you to do, he's going to redirect you. The process is, don't follow the lusts of the flesh. We have to ask ourselves, am I seeking God? Am I putting God first? If we're putting God first, we're praying to God, God's going to guide us and he's going to direct us in the way that we should go. We have to trust him. We have to have faith. We don't want to keep knocking down a door that is locked. We want to go down the path. And I think there's a good scripture. Let's turn real quick. Romans chapter 13. I actually have it in my notes. Romans chapter 13. Let's read four verses. Verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. Our salvation is now. We live our lives to be alert, to be spiritually ready every day throughout the day. That's what it's saying. For now our salvation is near when we were first believed. We're getting older. Whether Christ returns in this lifetime or not, we're getting older. How are we conducting our lives? Are we alert? Are we awake? I have to ask myself that. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. It says, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, the lusts of the flesh. And let us put on the armor of light, of God's way. We can't do this on our own. If we're trying, we're going to fail. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. That's what we came out of. That's what we were supposed to come out of. That's what we died to at baptism. That's what we die to every day. And forgiveness, to be made alive. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Use that sacrifice that God gave and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. You can go back and read, I'm not going to turn there, Romans chapter 1, where individuals believe the lie. And we have this society that doesn't want to obey God. And so God turns them over to a debased mind. He turns them over to Satan. And they do all these wicked things of who they are and what they represent. And then the last verse says they deserve death. Do we want death? That's what we died. We died of at baptism of those sins. We don't want that. Satan likes to sort of sugarcoat things. Oh, you're okay. You're okay. You're fine. Question is Satan asleep? How many of us here believe that Satan is asleep? I don't think we do we? Over in Luke, let's turn over to Luke as we begin to wrap this up. Luke chapter 9. And as we look at this, we can ask ourselves, but I'm tired. I'm tired of denying the self. I got to keep doing it all the time. It's not working. Nothing's changing. Christ died. The Father offered his Son for all mankind, for the sins. If we're not seeking that Savior to be applied in our lives, to be like him, to be able to accept that forgiveness and to be able to apply that forgiveness and be strong and overcome and apply it, we're going to be saying, I'm tired of denying myself. I can't do this anymore. We can't do that. Yes, there's times that happens, but we can't fall in the trap and stay there. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them, this is Jesus Christ's words, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny the self. We must deny the self. We must deny those thoughts. We can't give up. Take up his cross daily. It's a daily application. And he says, follow me. To deny the cross, to take up the cross means we need to deny ourselves daily. We're told that these thoughts are going to come into our head. We're told we must deny them. Can't just think, oh, can't give up. Satan wants us to give up. Verse 24, for whoever desires to save his life, they're going to lose it. I need a rest. What endures is our spiritual relationship with God. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It's a serious matter. It's very serious. The world doesn't even know what that greater purpose is. We've been given that truth. Thing is, are we applying that truth? Verse 25, for what profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? So we could be seeking our will, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, and think that we've got the world by the tail, and all we're doing is thinking of ourselves, and we're not thinking of the rest of the body of Jesus Christ, the church. It focuses on the self. And God says that's a serious matter. We must follow the life of what Jesus Christ said and be determined to do God's will. Jump over to verse 57. And now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, so someone there alongside the road said to Jesus Christ, I will follow you wherever you go. That's what we said at baptism. What are we saying now? And Jesus said to him, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know, our calling sometimes is a moving calling, something that we always must do in following God and not just staying fixed. Our human bodies, our flesh, likes to be comfortable. Stay here. I got my TV channel. I got my couch. I got my drink. You know what? God's way of life is loving and serving, caring and giving. That's putting God first. But if we're still holding on to grudges and we haven't forgiven anyone, we're going to be hanging on to ourself. Verse 59, then he said to another, follow me. Another individual. Okay, well, all right, you follow me. And he said, Lord, as an excuse, let me go first and bury my father. Do we have excuses? What's our excuses for not following God right now? We have to ask ourselves that. I have to ask myself that. Myself. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. When we make excuses and we're holding on to self and we are not living to God, we're dead in our sins. We're dead. We haven't repented. We haven't been made alive. When we repent and want to go forward, put God first, be strong in the Lord and seek his strength, we're made alive. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. Preach the truth. Preach the truth. You can know it. You can live it. You can apply it. And another also said, there's another individual, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. All right, what excuses have we got? Well, I'm going through this process. I know I can get through this process. And as soon as I get through this process, I'll start obeying God. How many times have we said that? Whatever it is. Well, this is the easy way out. I'm going to just do this because if I do it the way God's way is, it's going to be difficult. Who said God's way wasn't difficult? God set it up that way. We live in Satan's society. We have the lust of the flesh to overcome. We must admit that we're wrong and change and overcome. But Jesus said to him, to all the individuals, not just to him, to all of us, if we're not fit for the kingdom of heaven, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is for the kingdom of God. So we've made this commitment. We've accepted this calling. How many excuses are we looking at going back into the world of not putting God first and relying on his strength? In conclusion, it's a full commitment to follow the will of God daily. This day, let tomorrow worry about itself, because tomorrow is going to be the same as this day. I'm going to focus on this day. We must come to understand that. Let's turn over to our last scripture, our set of scriptures. And Jesus Christ, these are the words from Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 6. And he's telling his followers, his disciples. And we are his followers. We are his disciples. He's saying, don't be like these religious leaders, these other religious leaders who want to be heard and they want to be seen for their great works. Don't be like them. Verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask him. But in this manner, pray in this manner. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. How great is God's name. He gave us his Son as a sacrifice so that we can go before the throne of God. That veil cut in two. We can have access to the Father through His Son. We can go there and bow down on our knees at God's feet, knowing that we need to be washed, knowing that we need to be cleaned, knowing that He wants to give us eternal life. It says, "Your kingdom come." I want that kingdom. I want that reward that you're offering to me, that you've revealed to me that the world does not know about. It says, "Your will be done." God's will is to put Him first, to give up everything else. It's to overcome our will and to put on righteousness. Isn't that the goal? Gives us a reward, tells us what the reward is, tells us what our goal is. That His will must be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And at this time we're being called right now. And eventually the rest of the world will be called as well. We want them to know God's will as well. And then as we go on this very day, it says, give us this day our daily bread. This very day we need the Savior. We need a sacrifice. We need that sacrifice that the Father has given us. We understand that. We know that. From the spiritual aspect, we want that daily bread to help us to overcome. Because if we try to do it on ourselves, it's impossible. And it says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors, those who sin against us. That's only made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it's impossible to forgive others. Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, let in God take away that sin from us and be relieved and be made alive. And without us forgiving others, right? We can easily say, you know what, God, I'm accepting that sacrifice, and I can easily say, forgive me of my sins, but only do it as I forgive those who sin against me. We know we can do that because we have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the Father has given that to us. And then as we leave our lives, and do not lead us into temptation. So we do get tempted, right? But draw me back in. Do what you have to do. I want this gift of eternal life. I want to be living to you. I want to be representing you. I want to be glorified through this sacrifice so that I can glorify you. And as I'm going through this, it does say, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this sacrifice, right? Give us our needs. Give us the Savior. We're thinking about the collective body. We're a soldier. We're enduring. We're willing to die. We're willing to die for the enemy. But if we can't even love ourselves in the body first, how can we even die for the enemy, let alone die for each other's sins? And it says, do not lead us into this temptation, but help me to come back. Help us to come back. And deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from Satan. Because when we start getting tempted, we're going that direction, he's going to sway us. We're going to start thinking of his mindset. And we want to come back out of that. We don't want to stay in that. Because we don't want to fall into the way he is of hate. We don't want to fall into the lake of fire where he's going. We don't want to be burned up. And we say, for yours is the kingdom and it's the power and it's the glory forever that I want to be a part of, that I want all mankind to be a part of, and I want to be there. Thank you for the Savior. Thank you for access to you. Thank you for the words of knowing what I need to do. So in conclusion, and that's just generally a general outline. Definitely a lot more could be added to that. But for this message of the Savior and what we need and forgiveness of sin and what God has done for us, I've touched on it in that aspect. Let's focus on taking the proper time as we wake up each day, desiring to seek and to do God's will in our life. And let's be strong Let's be strong in this process. Let's be strong in the Lord. We have been given the understanding that there is a greater purpose for mankind. What a blessing to know that. We know that we are living today. We know why we're living today. So let's be making the right choices. Now is our time for salvation.